Good morning. Four short years ago, there was a small group here at Bridgeport United Methodist Church called to do international missions. After some investigations, we were connected with Reverend Chuck Graff at the Fort Worth First United Methodist Church in late 2012. July 2013, Shelley, Carolyn, Pam, Vaughn, and I traveled to Costa Rica for the first time. This is now our fourth year for the Bridgeport Church to be involved in Costa Rica missions. This year, there were 18 people, ages 18 to 78, who went on the trip, five of us from Bridgeport. As a team, we met multiple times prior to our trip to determine our VBS theme, including our scripture, our story, and our crafts that we would be doing. This year, our scripture was from Matthew chapter 19, "Let the children come to me." On Saturday, after arriving in Costa Rica, our first stop was the Methodist Children's Home. The team brought shoes, towels, medicine, and lots of balloons. We had about an hour or so to love on the children. Our destination for the next 6 days would be Puerto Viejo de Sarapiquí and the Agape Church. This is the 11th year that the Fort Worth team has gone to serve this area in north central Costa Rica. It all began with a plot of land, about 5 acres, that was donated to the church. A pavilion was added for worship and fellowship. Remember, a church is really the body of Christ. It's the people. A building just helps facilitates the body. In 2006, the building was begun. And this is a picture taken by the Fort Worth team the first year they went and the work started. In 2009, it had progressed to some degree, and it took almost 5 years and 35 short-term mission teams. The church was now completed. And in 2016, you'll see that today that there is also a clinic and almost a parsonage that's in here. This is an aerial view of the church now. The clinic was, the groundbreaking for the clinic began in 2010, and in 2015, the first health clinics were held. Next year, the Fort Worth United Methodist Church is planning on taking a medical team to actually have some, to hold a week's worth of clinics there with nurses, medical doctors, and dentists. The parsonage was started in 2013, the first year that our team was there, and we were helping build a lot of the pillars and posts to get it started. Currently, the pastor and her family rents a small place about 10 minutes from the church if it's by car. A lot of times they have to take a bus to get there. Their son, who is about 20 years old, is living in a Sunday school classroom to help protect the church from break-ins. It is really important that the church family and the pastor's family get to be in the parsonage as soon as possible for the family's dynamic as well as for the security of the church building itself. With the help of Fort Worth First United Methodist Church and many donors, the parsonage is now scheduled to be completed and the family in it by Christmas of this year. On Sunday morning and Thursday evening, we worshiped with the Agape Church family, and this is now their sanctuary. So every year they've added something new to the sanctuary. So it was, you saw some of the early building pictures and everything. This year's big addition, which really meant a lot, were ceiling fans. Remember, they have no air conditioning. It's just vented at the top of the building, so air flows through it. So having ceiling fans was really made it comfortable to be there during worship when it's like 80-some degrees with 90% humidity. So it really helped. Monday began the work week. We did construction in two different locations this year, one at the Agape Parsonage, and the second at Loma Linda, a little church in Loma Linda, doing their Sunday school classrooms. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. We did this Monday through Thursday. There's pictures that were in the slideshow previous, and we have lots of pictures in the back for you to look at. VBS was done at the end of the workday at three different churches. So when we were done working, we switched into our VBS clothes and went to either El Tigre, which is the small little church at the top, Hosanna Methodist Church, or Fountain of Life. All of these are small little Methodist churches that are out in the various outlying areas in the area we were at. At the end of our trip, we had some R&R at Arenal Springs. I talked a lot about the calling of the team and how we answered the call. However, you, all of you, also answered the call. Your prayers saw us safely to Costa Rica and home again, even through some big obstacles that almost kept some of us from participating. You'll never know how much your prayers and loving support meant to us. The Sunday before our departure, we did a cookie sale to raise money. A lot of you were involved in that. That could be used for the people of Costa Rica once we arrived. You generously gave. We left here with $1,444 from the Bridgeport team. So for all of you that bought cookies and supported us, thank you. When we arrived, I let Pastor Chuck know how much money we had and asked him if he knew of any specific need where the money could go. He said, "Let's pray about it and see how God answers our prayers this week." On Sunday, I noticed that Pastor Ivania was not there to greet us and be her normal outgoing self. During worship, she went to the altar to pray. There were many who went up to pray over her and with her. It was very emotional. I later found out that she had been extremely ill and had been in the hospital prior to us coming. On Monday, a team of us, including the Bridgeport team, went to a small church in Loma Linda, about 10 minutes from the Agape Church, to help in the building of a Sunday school classrooms. We met Pastor Douglas. He was telling us in Spanish that they had been praying for many years to have a team come to help finish these classrooms. You can see there, this is just a small Methodist church out in a very kind of little rural area. You see, it had been about 5 years between the time the first wall was built and a team came to do the remaining walls and floors. So in 2011, a team, actually it was the Fort Worth team, came and cleared a spot and put that very first wall up, and then it sat there for 5 years. The Methodist Missions Coordinators in Costa Rica set the priorities for projects based on a number of teams that come in, and sometimes how nature can change those priorities with floods and earthquakes. Those teams are what really fund the projects. Pastor Douglas said that they had laborers that could help finish the walls, putting on the roof, installing windows and doors. However, they did not have any money, and neither did the Methodist missions funds. Maybe this was an answer to our prayers on where the funds from Bridgeport could help. Our construction lead, William, drew out a plan on a piece of paper like this, exactly is it, and went to the lumber yard to get estimates. Note that no one knew how much money we had brought with us, not anyone, except for Pastor Chuck. So, and the estimate, and I don't know if you can see it on there, but at the bottom of the page, the estimate came to $1,394. The actual cost, once we purchased it, came to within $20 of the money that we had taken. So it was really a thing. God answered our prayer and the prayer of Pastor Douglas and his congregation. As individuals, we each gave a little, but God multiplied it, and God did great things with what was provided. Just a note regarding Pastor Ivania. By Wednesday of our week, She was going out grocery shopping with the cooking team and leading worship on Thursday evening. Her energy level was almost back to normal. She had marked improvement since Sunday. Prayers and God did great things. Here we are, Lord. We have heard your calling. We will go, Lord, as you lead us. We will hold your people in our hearts. Thank you.
Good morning. This morning's song comes from Psalm 46:10. It's a favorite of many of ours. I probably shouldn't talk before I sing. Just like in our scripture lesson this morning with Samuel, God called, but Samuel had to listen. And that's what we need to do, is be still and listen.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alyssa McComas. I'm Randy and Shelley's youngest daughter. I grew up in this church and went on mission trips with the youth group from the time I was in eighth grade until I graduated high school. But this is my first time to go to Costa Rica. When my mom brought up the idea of her going for the second time and asked if I was interested, I knew I had to go. I live in downtown Fort Worth now, and I work as a nurse at John Peter Smith Hospital in the emergency room. Since starting there, serving the underserved population has kind of become a passion of mine. My mom spoke about the poverty level in Costa Rica when she came back the last time and how appreciative they were of any help, and so I felt like this trip was something that I really needed to do. When I was getting ready to leave, I thought pretty much the same thing everybody does about a trip, wondering what I was going to do, what kind of place we would be staying, how I would be helping the people there, what I was going to pack. I Googled images of Costa Rica and was amazed at how beautiful the scenery was. But if you ask me what I remember most about Costa Rica, and what I'll always remember, is most definitely the people. When we first got to the Agape Church, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. My Spanish skills are pretty limited to, are you having chest pain? And I didn't think that that would really apply in this setting. But my nervous stomach quickly resolved. The group of women who cooked for us every day were already there, and one by one, as we got off the bus, they gave us the biggest hug and a kiss on the cheek and told us that we were so welcome there. After that, words and the language that we spoke didn't really matter as much anymore. The part about these women that amazed me the most is the same thing that amazed me about every person in Costa Rica. Every person we met just exuded happiness and warmth. They were constantly laughing, cooking, dancing to their loud music, and going to church with their families 3 and 4 times a week. It was such a pure form of happiness. I realized then these women weren't happy because they were on vacation in a different country or because they had a couple of weeks off work like I did. The average pay there is equivalent to about $14 a day, and it's spread really thin. Most of their houses don't have running water, electricity, solid roofs, or more than dirt floors. They don't have iPads and cell phones and new clothes for every special occasion. They don't have the luxury of going on a yearly vacation or back to school shopping, but they have everything that they need. They have their families and the church that they're so proud of. They take every bit of money that they have and put it back into the church. Their children are happy playing soccer outside and are well cared for. When I left Costa Rica and came back to Fort Worth almost 2 weeks later, the Costa Rican phrase, pura vida, which translates to the pure life, stayed in my mind. I couldn't help but think, if you took away this job that I loved and my apartment and all the stuff I don't need, would it be enough? Is it enough for me to have my faith, my friends, and my family to be happy? To show so much joy for God and to be an example of what true happiness in God would be like? Would I be able to show someone happiness if mine and the woman from Costa Rica's situations were swapped? Since then, I've tried to find happiness in the challenges of my life, in the happiness in the relationships of my life, instead of material things, for that happiness to be enough. And I challenge you to do the same thing.
This is my second time to be a member of the mission team to Costa Rica. So this time, I thought I knew what to expect. The first trip in one of the little villages we went out to, I experienced poverty like I had never seen before. Although the people and the children had such joy, the very things that we think nothing of, like a bar of soap, they longed for and they desperately needed. Although this degree of poverty was mainly evident in one of the communities we were in, I just could not get it out of my mind. Many times over the last 3 years, my prayers and my thoughts would keep turning back to the people, to the families that I had met. This year, I felt God tugging at my heart to go back, and I knew it was time again. I tried to mentally, spiritually prepare myself. And then it was all completely different this year. The areas of such poverty, well, they remained, but you could see huge changes. God was making a difference, and He had something else in store for me to learn this time. I just didn't know what yet. I loved seeing the familiarity of seeing the Agape Church again. I remembered many of the faces. Again, the people were filled with such joy. God was moving hearts there, and I could feel that soon He was moving mine. There were many things that touched me, many things that challenged me, that caused me to stop and to thank God once again for such basics in life. We had come to build relationships, to share our lives, to love in the name of Jesus Christ, and we did. We came to work, and I know that I have never been that hot, worked that hard, and I now know quite a bit more about rebar. Again, we came to be a blessing, and again, I left feeling as though we were the ones who had been blessed. One thing stood out that I hadn't been able to let go of that I'd like to share with you this morning. That Thursday evening, we attended a prayer service once again at the Agape Church. For some reason, although we had been in and out of that church for several days, all of a sudden, I noticed these pictures and sheets of information that were hanging on the walls of the sanctuary. They were describing two of their mission projects. This body of Christ, who had so little, well, they were giving, and they were giving in a huge way. After the service, Pastor Abanya, well, she was eager to share with several of us about them. One was a ministry that they had begun in Nicaragua. They were helping families there who were living in dumpsters. It was a village, one of many, where there were like families living amongst the rubble. Their church family, they took supplies, love, and the message of Jesus Christ to the children and to their families. With the very little that they had, they gave, and they gave generously. They went, not just once, but they continued to go and to serve, taking clothes, food that they grow, and even little goodies for the kids. The other ministry that they had begun was a new church plant that they had started. On our last day, they wanted us to see what God was doing. We traveled not too far down the dirt roads to another small community. Out in the distance sat a shack. And I mean a shack. They told us that they had already had a man from their church who had committed to preach there. They said the building, yes, it needed a little work, a new roof, and some other things. But they were praying and they were giving it over to God. They were so excited. This man was going to be going out and ministering to the people nearby. And the people of Agape were giving to this ministry, and they were praying. And God was blessing it. People were coming to worship. The roof would come later. But worship, well, it was happening now. As we left the Agape Church, Pastor Abanya, she wanted to thank us. We had worshiped and prayed together. We had shared in our lives. We had worked, but now it was time to leave. As tears flowed down her face and all of ours, she began to say that they would be praying. They would be praying for us. She wanted us to know that. As we went home and began preparing and saving to make the trip once again. As I got on the bus to leave, the story of the little boy in the Bible who gave his loaves and fishes kept coming to my mind. I wanted to read it again. You remember the story. A large crowd had followed Jesus because they had seen him healing the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and he sat with his disciples. He knew the crowd needed to eat. And he was testing Philip when he asked him, "Where will we get enough food to feed all these people?" Philip told him it would take almost a year's wages to give these people just a bite of food. But it was Andrew who spoke up. he had seen a little boy. The rest of the story can be found in John chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. If you would like, you can find it on page 867 in your pew Bible, follow along in yours, or simply listen to these words. There is a boy here who has five small loaves of barley bread and two fish. But what good is that with all these people? The ground was covered with grass, and Jesus told his disciples to have everyone sit down. About 5,000 men were in the crowd. Jesus took the bread in his hands, and he gave thanks to God. Then he passed the bread to the people, and he did the same with the fish until everyone had had plenty to eat. The people ate all they wanted, all that they wanted. And Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted." The disciples gathered them up and filled 12 large baskets with what was left over from the barley loaves. After the people had seen Jesus work this miracle, they began saying, "This must be the prophet who is to come into the world." I want us to look at two of the words that we see in verse 11. Jesus took them and he gave thanks. Jesus took what this little boy had, and then he held it up to God and he gave thanks. He took what everyone else saw as so little and he gave it to God, and God multiplied it. It was enough. This was what was happening in Costa Rica. People were giving. They were sacrificially giving, just like the little boy. It is the same for us when we give what we have to God. It is He who can do great things with it. We just have to be willing to give. Today I ask for each of us to think about and to pray about, what will we give? For in Him it is enough.